4, 3, 2, 1. Hello guys, how's everybody doing? This is the PVO show presented to you by Nerd Rage Entertainment. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Yesterday, very, very sad news. WWE released about 18 people. You guys have already, you know, been looking on your timeline. You guys already know a lot of the names that got dropped. A lot of these guys had already been looking to look elsewhere for work. Some of them were already, looking for some changes. So some of them already, you know, it's good that some of them, you know, are now going to be able to get that change and, you know, go elsewhere and, you know, maybe find their happiness. Some names really kind of eye popping a little bit. Keith Lee being the just the biggest one on the list. You know, you just gave him a name change and you're trying to basically like repackage him, you know, saying, and give him something else. This is a guy who's got, you know, saying, a very high ceiling. This is an extremely, talented, athletic, big guy. You know, he's still your big wrestler, but he's very athletic, very likable, the crowd responds very well to him, Honestly, he's not the talent that I would have thought had any problem being there. Same with Karrion Kross. Here's a guy already, somebody that, you know, that has the size and the look that, you know, you would think Vince already likes, you know, saying he's a big dude. You bring him from NXT and you repackage him. And then now we're here with the releases. You know, I understand it's a business, but it's just the thought process that goes with the way WWE does things really concern me, because this is the way that they go about these things. You know, you do the draft and involve some of these people in that draft. What are, you know, saying, only 2 months later go, you know what, all right, we need to do some more budget cuts. You know, saying, we got more budget cuts that's happening. And I already looked at What Culture Today and, you know, looked at their report, and they were talking about how the revenue's been great. They had a great year. They've already been having an amazing year. The crowds are coming back. You know, saying, so they've been making money off of the stuff that they've been putting out, you know. It's just like, wow, you know. And then there's the other thing, you know, these are just like other fans. AEW is getting too big. This is what people do not understand about AEW's roster. In AEW, you don't only belong just to AEW. If you, depending on the wrestler and what they want to do in their contract, a lot of those guys have access to go wrestle outside of AEW. So with a roster that's getting as big as AEW's roster, there has been maybe some small grumbling. Brian Cage is the one, I think, that's probably the name that mostly comes up. That's one of my favorite wrestlers, and I haven't seen him much. Barely get to see him much. There's backstage talk about possibility of, these unvaccinations, people being unvaccinated, and some other people maybe not feel comfortable working with a guy that's that's not vaccinated. You're working with people constantly, so like you're trying to make sure no one gets sick. Still, because there was a lot of that in WWE. The roster just kept getting sick and kept getting hit with COVID. Everybody was getting, you know, COVID watches constantly. And it was the same thing was going on. It actually affected John Moxley at one point because of, you know, Renee, she was working, you know, saying with, with their guys, and she got hit with a little bit of COVID at the end, and it, you know, kind of like pushed over. So, stuff like that. Everybody's going to be doing this, like, unvaccinated, vaccinated like little war now, and companies are going to get involved with that because their talent, they have to make sure that they're taking care of their talent, their customer, you know, saying all of their, you know, their viewers that come to the shows, that actually physically come to those shows. You want to make sure that they're safe by everybody being, you know, saying vaccinated to keep everybody safe. And I understand that everybody keeps on having a certain opinion about vaccinations. Everybody's upset because they feel like they're being forced. I try to tell people all the time, though, this is bigger than you. It's like a worldwide thing. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than this little conspiracy that we were thinking. Because I was right there at first when it all started. I was like, oh, man, when the hell have they ever tried to give black folks, you know, saying something that helps, you know? It's, you know, it's a very truthful thing. You know, it's okay to be skeptic. But, you know, I did it to keep my parents safe, you know, saying my grandson safe. So, you know, keep doing your research, but actually make sure you're getting real information and not misinformation. Please stay off those, you know, saying political websites. It doesn't matter which side, you know, just stay off the political websites because they have an opinion. They won't go off a fact. They have an opinion. And just be careful with that, you know. Don't let your party change your mindset and make you do something stupid, you know. Take care of you guys, you know, take care of yourselves. And that's the other thing with wrestling now. You know, there's so many people that they, these wrestlers are coming in contact with amongst each other, and then just the staff and everybody else around. A lot of companies now, they really want the, you know, their wrestlers, hey, can you please get vaccinated so everybody can just be safe? And a lot of people have their personal feelings about that. So, now this is maybe something that's going to impact a lot of the people or a few of the people that you sort of saw that it was released. If they're not getting vaccinated because of their personal beliefs, this may impact them job-wise down the line. Because there are states out there that are not going to allow you to do certain things. So that hurts with... if WWE was to do a show in New York, and you know they're not, you know they got wrestlers that's unvaccinated, that they necessarily can't use their, you know, saying use those wrestlers, you know, they may not get approved to perform because they didn't get vaccinated, and within that state you have to. So certain states out there are gonna have these vaccination mandates. And it's becoming a big thing in sports. Everybody's talking about the hypocrisy between Kyrie Irving. And this is just, you know, this is black folks being skeptical because they're like, here you guys coming at, you know, saying coming at Kyrie. But Stephen A. Smith don't, you know, necessarily come at Aaron Rodgers. All this shit. All this dumb, man. Because, like, I get that everybody's got their personal beliefs. But, like, all right, now that shit's going to be costing you guys your job. You know, gonna be costing people their job. I don't want to see people lose out, you know, saying on their job. As far as when it comes to Kyrie, he's allowed to have his personal opinion. That's the one thing I've stood on as far as, you know, with him. He's allowed to have his personal opinion. It's just that the consequence for his opinion is now going to affect his playtime or the fact that whether or not he can actually play at all. For the team, you know, it's not the NBA already said it is not an issue with the NBA, it's an issue with the state of New York, and it is, but that was just, you know, it's a state issue. That's, you know, that's the thing. I just say people just be safe, take care of yourself. You know, I'm not here to tell you guys, you know, saying what to do. I just know that, you know, it's bigger than you. Like, it's bigger than it's bigger than the state that you live in. It's bigger than, you know, saying the region. It's literally just bigger than you. It's all around the world. It's a problem all around the world. When you seen that shit go down in Italy and it was on its way here to the United States, when you saw how bad Italy got hit, you know, saying when COVID really got, I would have thought people had just like had learned, just like, damn, you know, this might actually be a problem because it's affecting a lot of people around the world. It's bigger than our country, you know. Something's gotta give. And it's okay to be skeptical of the FDA. You look on any of the COVID products that are out right now, anything that's COVID related that's out, like the rapid test and all that stuff, nothing has been FDA approved. Everything has been FDA, trying to look for the right word, authorized. Nothing has been FDA, it's not been officially FDA approved, but it has been FDA authorized to go through because whatever it is that anybody that can come up with to help, basically with, saying the stuff that's going on with COVID, that's what they've been trying to do. And mind you, business has been fucking good because all the vaccination. All the companies behind each vaccination has profited very well. Yes, everything is about money. And again, I fully understand why people are getting scared. There's no microchips in these things. Trust me. These little needles, these regular syringes and shit that the doctor, saying that the people use to, saying inject you with the vaccination, these shits is so small. You're not getting a microchip in these bad boys, okay? There's no microchip in there. If you were to get injected with something that had a microchip in it, think of the Suicide Squad, that injection gun that they have. I mean, it's like big, bulky, like really big, and it's like a canister that hooks up to it with the stuff in there and whatnot. Yeah, that's what would have to be used, something of that size, and you it would hurt very much. It would not be a big thing. No one would ever get this fucking vaccination if it was that big ass gun that they would fucking shoot in the back of your neck with a microchip in it. Yeah, no one would ever be in line for that voluntarily. They would literally have to force all of us down and shoot that shit in us, because if you was to get, saying injected with one of those bad boys, that shit's gonna hurt, and you're not doing that shit voluntarily. So everybody calm down. This is not this is not the New World Order and shit. Like, calm down. It's bigger than you. All right. So the rumor was, saying some of those guys that just got released may have had some vaccination issues, and that's why some of them got released, but that's just a rumor. I'm not gonna put too much thought into that, but I do get it. I definitely do get it, because trying to keep everybody safe, and that's the most important thing, especially now that we have crowds coming back. That's like really important with crowds coming back. You just want to make sure that you're safe on your end. That way, no one is gonna be able to blame the company. So I get it. But next thing is these guys and these ladies that are now getting released. I'm sorry to say this out loud, but Eva Marie, I am so overjoyed that even though it's a person without a job, I'm sorry. Everybody knows what on earth has Eva Marie done for fucking wrestling at all? Like, at all. Like, sometimes I question. Like, I would love to see her do an interview where she literally says, "I always trained extremely hard and was ready to go out there and put on like the best performance, but they always told me just go out there and look pretty." Like, I would love to see her in a real raw interview where she tells the truth and is like, "Yeah, they always told me don't wrestle, just go out there and just look pretty." Because that's literally Eva Marie. Like, I don't even remember her wrestling when she left WWE. Still was doing Total Divas and then kind of like fell off the face of the earth. We never saw her again. She showed up on SmackDown, got signed to SmackDown, came out with a big ass entrance, then would leave. And I was like, bro, like, I'm gonna need y'all to knock this shit off because it's not even funny anymore. Like, this was not even entertaining. It was pissing me off because, like, I respect like females in wrestling so fucking much. One of my favorite all-time favorite female wrestlers will always be Chyna. That fucking woman was amazing. Joni Lawler was awesome. Okay, she had a little small downward spiral with her drinking. You know what I mean? But like when she started working on her redemption, it really shows you, like, you just don't know from photos and videos how a person like is really going through something and on their side. Like, I followed her as a fan from since she was in Japan. She was in Japan, not wrestling, but she went up there and she got a teaching job and stuff like that, and she was happy. You know what I mean? Or at least that's what you thought. Sorry about that. And all right, so yeah, I just never, just never really understood the whole Eva Marie thing. I just never understood that whole thing. And then they did the same thing when they brought her back. They brought her back to Raw, and she came out with an amazing young talent that was hiding away in NXT UK. You finally get to see Viper, and this is why I laugh at some of the people that that still watch this, because like I got a guy, he saying he grew up with all the old school wrestlers and everything. He went to all the stuff, went to every saying every time he could go to an event, he went to an event and everything. But he grew up with Hogan, saying Randy Savage, saying everybody, man. He ran with all the greats and stuff like that. And I remember talking to him, just briefly talking to him about, like, what stuff, he's been seeing and stuff like that. I asked him about, about UK. He would only really watch just mainly SmackDown and Raw, and would not watch NXT. So like NXT, he would barely see. He would But now that everything's on Peacock, he's been able to kind of start seeing stuff like that when they do air it. But in the past, he didn't watch any of the NXT. I said, "You didn't watch none of that?" I was like, "So you missed out on Neville when he was, saying Neville with NXT. You missed out on all of that. What is wrong with you?" I'm like, "You missed out on the good things that WWE would hide away." And Viper was one of those people. She finally gets the call up for this stupid ass storyline with Eva Marie. And they change her goddamn name to the dumbest thing. Like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the poor girl is trying to make that shit work. It is stupid. All she needs is her fucking name, and just let her go out there and wrestle. The young lady can go. She can go in that ring. I love her work. I want to see more of her. It looks like we are going to be able to see an opportunity to see her. Everybody will be able to see more of her wrestling. It's just right off the bat with a lot of these new people, and just people that already have been around but finally get their call ups. They get their call ups only to get just their momentum taken away from them. I mean, come on. Karrion Kross gets moved up to the main roster after dropping his title, and what happens when he gets called up? He gets freaking changed to looking like he's in Demolition. And you can't sit there and tell me, "Yeah, man, you just gotta just watch the process." There's no process to watch. This bullshit. Stop watching. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stop supporting bullshit. I was so done. I'll still remember. I'm still tilted from the time that Vince McMahon and all of his kids are all sitting in the freaking ring. They're all standing in the ring, and they say, "You know what? We're making some changes. We're gonna make big changes right now. We're making this change. We're making this commitment to you. You are the universe. We're making this change, and we're gonna start working for you. We're gonna start listening to you." It was right after that I was fucking done. As far as main roster shit, I was done. Raw and SmackDown, even if SmackDown is better than Raw, doesn't matter. The quality of it, all of it, the same formula. You get a more action-packed show on SmackDown. That's why everybody always likes SmackDown more than Raw. I remember how I, saying I loved SmackDown, always had. It is the better show than Raw, and it always will be. It's just always just, even with the underdog wrestlers that weren't your big dog wrestlers, you still could get more out of what you can get out of those guys on SmackDown. They just would, you know, saying sometimes it was just better storylines and stuff like that. And then, of course, a lot of people right now are loving SmackDown. You have Sasha Banks over there, you know, saying you got Sasha, you know, saying you'll have Charlotte again now. You got, you know, saying you got, you know, saying some, you know, saying the people that, you got wrestlers over there that the people really love right now. Roman, everybody loves Roman. The only problem is, here's my issue with Roman. Who you got to beat him? You got a legitimate person that you built up to beat this guy? No. I mean, you just threw away one that you hid away over on Raw. And mind you, he was, you know, saying injured. He was down. But even still, you know, wait till the man gets healthy. Bring him back. And bring him back strong, but put him in the right storyline. You got your guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you put Big E off of SmackDown and you put him on Raw to go win the title, you know what I'm saying, off of Lashley. That, you know what I'm saying, you took the guy, you know what I'm saying, maybe you took somebody that could beat, you know what I'm saying, can beat Roman. Because right now, who do you have that's going to legitimately beat Roman? You had Finn go up against him already. And you make that look horrible. You know, not everybody on that list that got dropped was a winner. You know what I mean? Was, you know, saying really something big. But at the same time, watch what some of these guys turn around and go do. Because this is the part, you know, saying that I know that these guys are going to be, these guys, these ladies are going to be fine. They're going to find themselves. Mia Yim is going to, you know, saying Mia Yim and Keith Lee are going to find themselves. They're going to be just fine. Like, Keith Lee will not be a free agent for extremely long. That man will not be off the shelves for an extremely long time. It's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Now he's got the time to recuperate, get himself in proper, you know, saying in proper shape for the next, you know, saying part of it, you know, saying part of his life, because it's getting ready to, it's getting ready to go down. It's going to be a bidding war. You got Impact, MLW, you know, saying AEW, all are going to be chomping at the bit to get this guy. Every single body, everybody is going to be all hands on deck trying to get him. And there's still more people not necessarily getting released, but their contract's going to be up, and it's going to be the same thing. But to go back to AEW, as far as contracts and their roster, is like, is their roster too bloated? AEW is one of the only companies right now where you can go and sign a big deal with them. You can sign a major contract with them. But also within that contract, you can also ask to be able to work with New Japan and whoever they have a relationship with. You can add, you can also ask to work, you know, saying with smaller promotions. So you can be allowed to go work in GCW. You can also be allowed to go over and work with MLW if you want to. But New Japan being the top one, where they're allowed to go and send their talent to, is the big deal breaker that a lot of people do not understand. Lee Moriarty is not hiding away off the roster. Lee Moriarty is actually able to go and work in other promotions. Daniel Garcia has been able to go and get his, you know, saying get his experience in still working with other promotions. You guys are not seeing the bigger picture with how AEW operates. They keep fresh faces on television with some of those bigger faces. Yes, you guys are seeing some ex people that used to be at WWE. You've been seeing Andrade, you've been seeing Malakai, you've been seeing, you know, saying you've been seeing all these people that used to be in the WWE on television. You got experienced people. Now look at their opponents. Look at a lot of their opponents and look at some of the youth that you've been seeing in some of those opponents and whatnot. Whether they're jobbers or not, you know, saying whether there's pillars and stuff like that, Darby Allin, MJF, Jungle Boy, you know, saying those are your, you know, saying your top young talent that's been showing up. Then you got Dante Martin, you know, saying you got Dante Martin really has been progressing in front of your eyes. You know, saying if you have been seeing Dynamite, the guy, the kid is really like growing right in front of you guys. You know, saying yes, you know, saying he's green, but look at him go. He's, you know, saying he's actually, you know, answering that call. They're, and they're putting that backing behind him by giving him a developing story right in front of you. Now you got him packaged with Leo Rush, and you get to see this. You got young talent like Tay Conti, you know, saying now moving up the ranks, and she's really been on a hot streak. You had Anna Jay that was on a little bit of a hot streak there. Hers is now starting to dwindle down a little bit, but she's getting better. Those are young ladies right there that are, you know, saying really progressing. Britt still has time to polish. The majority of the women's roster still has time to polish, but a lot of them, you know, saying they're getting their reps in. I would like to see a little bit more matches, but I understand what they're doing when they try to fit in that one match that also has a story behind it. They right now, the early rounds of the TBS tournament, all of those matches, a lot of them had some storylines behind them. So now that they've moved on, they're moving on to the semifinals. Now you're going to see some of those stories kind of progress into something, and then you're going to see those other stories just basically be storytelling within that match. And this is something that some people that are still being highly loyal to the WWE are not understanding as far as storytelling within a match. AEW has done a great job with giving you guys a weekly match that they just put together. And people are upset, and I've seen it on my timeline. I'm not understanding how you guys are just liking these matches that have no build-up, because you don't need one. Is this going to be a good match? Yes. All right, now let's see it. That's what you get. That's exactly what you get. And then you get a great match. You get a very, you know, saying you get an entertaining match. I've really been excited about everything that I've seen from freaking the Dark Order. There's so much goddamn talent there. And you want to know my gripe is right now with most people that have been only highly loyal to the WWE and finally have seen an episode or, you know, seen something of AEW, and they'll say, I'm really let down by what I see on AEW. I'm sorry, I've tried, and I'm just let down. You guys really don't like the fact that you don't know any of these, you know, saying these younger guys. You don't know any of these other people that are not the guys from the WWE or former guys from the WWE. Like, you don't know who Imo Uno is. Like, some of these people that exist, y'all are confused on who these people are, and it bothers you because you don't know them yet. All you have to do is just watch and get to, you know, saying, and basically get to learn who these people are, watch their matches and be like, and then judge like, hey, this guy's got something. I like what I'm seeing. It's the same thing, honestly, that everybody made the mistake of with the women's division. Everybody bitched and complained about the women's division in AEW and really didn't understand. Just because you don't know who this chick is, doesn't make her a bad wrestler. You just don't know who she is. Maybe you should watch her match, watch her, you know, saying progress, and then you'll see, you know, saying what you get out of it. You know, Nyla Rose, no one knew who the hell Nyla Rose was. No one did. But AEW has believed in her by giving her a title shot. You know, saying she got to run with that title. And as she's had that title, she's progressed. They believed in, you know, saying in Riho. Riho is such a delight. This lady can go. And she is so small. But she pulls that shit off with, you know, saying her countering, her technical wrestling is just off the charts. I love it. She makes that shit work. Very flexible and athletic as hell. Loved it, you know, saying everybody loves it when they see Riho. And Sheeta, there's so many good things to say about Sheeta. This woman, she did a fantastic job when she was the champ. Like, really just kind of hidden away, too. Everybody was a little upset about the fact that, like, you know, when Sheeta was the champ, sometimes we barely got to see her. So, like, there's things that AEW still has to work on, you know? Everybody felt like Sheeta was hiding away. You know, she had a lot of dark matches and stuff like that. Instead of actually having dynamite matches. They really didn't have a whole lot, but they have mentioned they were really in the process of building that women's roster and getting those ladies ready for television so that they can actually put on the best match. And I understand quantity over, I understand quality over quantity. So I get what they were going when we ended up started to see these ladies get better in the ring, and that's what you're getting now. Now you're seeing everybody fire, saying everybody's firing on all cylinders, and they're just off the charts now with it. I'm loving everything I'm seeing. These ladies is killing it, all of them. There's so many of them that are doing good. It's hard to just only like root for one. I got so many of them that I love to see. Ruby, I want her to, saying do well because, when she was supposed to get her shot, she got injured, and then after that injury, things slowed down for her, and they never were the same when she was in WWE. Like, you got injured, that schedule was horrendous. People don't understand. In AEW, their schedule is not the same. They've been kind of sort of doing live shows, but they really have, they kind of do everything all in one when they can. When they do a show for Dynamite, they do an AEW dark show, and then they do a Rampage show at the end. So you get like 4 hours of wrestling right there. You get your main. You start off with dark, with an episode of dark. Then you move on. You move on to Dynamite. You get your 2 hours of that, and then you move over to your block of a 1 hour of Rampage, all in one night. It's a lot of wrestling. Sometimes it's a lot of people that's look. I gotta go home. It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. We gotta get these kids home. And there's people that leave, but for everybody else, man, everybody like it's just a great night of wrestling. But they do what they can within the time slots that they have available. And Tony Khan's been doing a good job of progressing in that, saying with that, creative is now being changed to mainly him. He's now confident in himself and with his booking of what he's been doing with these matches, and I have no problems with that. In the direction that he's been going, because I was very concerned with the ladies, like how they, saying the length of those matches and stuff like that. But really, if you give a good dive into these stories that they've been pushing out, they've trying to give everybody their spot, and it's hard to please everybody, but they're doing the best they can. I want to see more of them build up dark because literally, man. For what everybody else is bitching about when it comes to AEW Dark, I have no complaints, man. We just had AEW Dark on Tuesday with 12 matches, saying there's some really hidden gems in there, some good matches in there too. That one guy that they just signed, Rua, the Brazilian wrestler that they got, man, yo, I want to see more of him. He even got a challenge, a good challenge with the Bastard Pac he went up against, and that was a great competition for him. You really got to see some different styles there going back and forth, and it was really good. Yeah, that shit was really good. That's something that you could have seen on Dynamite. You definitely could have put that match on Dynamite. So like this just it's those little things that people are missing out on if you don't watch Dark. I really feel like honestly there's a those names that are that drops for some of the top people that were on that list that they're not gonna have no problem finding any place to work. Saying that they're gonna be fine. A lot of them are gonna be able to bet on themselves and really make something happen with this. Just watch what happens, man. It's gonna be really good. A lot of them are gonna have the opportunity. Saying to find their place, on the circuit, on the independent circuit, and back, saying back on TV. And that's the other thing about like Keith Lee. A guy like Keith Lee, yeah, he's not gonna pass up on an opportunity to go work with AEW. That gets him back on television. That gets him the contract that he deserves. And people need to understand when you're one of those top guys, there's no stepping down. If the other top company in my country is, saying happens to be AEW, and I just got fired, I just got released, I'm not stepping down to go work you know, saying with a smaller company where I'm gonna get kind of sort of a little bit of money here and there, and I'll just figure it out from there. No, I'm gonna go where I know my worth and where I'm gonna go get paid. So Keith Lee has nothing to worry about, and more than likely, Karrion Kross, he shouldn't have anything to worry about. Mia Yim is more than likely, I could see her following in the footsteps. And I would have no problem with seeing Mia Yim show up in AEW to expand that that women's roster. That's another talent right there that you already know is experienced and has had TV time. You have to understand that some of those people you're not going to pass up on, because you're talking about people that already are experienced on television. And that's an asset right now when it comes to a lot of these companies that are getting TV time. It really matters if you're someone that has that on your resume. Hey, I've been on the main network and have done just fine. I am a great wrestler, very polished and, a good worker. It's stuff like that that gets you signed, especially if you're not going to go in there demanding big bucks and you also want to keep your schedule flexible. People just don't understand that the AEW way of things that they do with their contracts actually helps with flexibility. It helps with them being able to go work in other promotions. That way they don't necessarily have to be so upset about the fact that they're not getting enough screen time with the company that they're with, because hey, I already put in my contract, I'm gonna go work over here since you guys don't have time for me there. All right, I'll see you when I see you. So that's the one main reason why AEW has been able to really build up that roster the way that they have. Because from the way Tony Khan sees it, instead of giving you guys a rematch all the time, saying of the same stuff, because a lot of these rematches that you guys are seeing are within a storyline. They are within a storyline, and they're not real like all over the place, they're here and there, they're sprinkled in. And I like that he's been sprinkling them in. It's not like a consistent, we're just going to do the same match every week. Same match every week, everybody going to go up against the same person. And we're just going to keep repeating that. All right, rinse, wash, repeat. All right, go. And we haven't gotten that. What he has been doing that we've been seeing is that he's been putting in a fresh face, with your main people, but he's been putting in a fresh face that you haven't necessarily seen, and put them in a spot to have a great match. And you get to see just that. You get to see a fresh face pop in, and you see that, you see this match, and they put on a really good one, and you're like, all right, I like this formula. I like this formula of I haven't seen that guy. All right, so yeah, bring him up. Bring him up and let's see them. And they put on a really good match. And in order to protect some of these storylines and stuff like that, I always talk about it now, they do roll-ups now. They do all different versions of roll-ups. And the roll-ups help keep the storylines going. I really have to say that I really respect the roll-up now, because the roll-up really does help progress the story. It helps keep it going. It actually, it doesn't weaken an opponent if you actually think about it. If I got rolled up, it sucks that I just got a loss. But at the same time, you didn't beat my ass. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't use your finisher to take me out. All you did was do a roll-up pin. And a roll-up pin helps for the next time me and you are in this ring, we're going to do an amazing storytelling match, because I want my win back. People don't understand that. And as a certain way of thinking that I've noticed that some of you guys out there have been upset about, y'all are like, man, you guys are really making us watch these matches that just showed up out of nowhere. You guys didn't make a story out of this, and you guys are telling me that I got to watch this match in order to see a story. Yes. Watch the match and you're going to see an amazing story within that match. And some people have a problem with that. They're looking at this as a bad thing. They're not used to seeing storytelling in matches, because mostly those storytelling matches that you got were mostly on pay-per-view you know, Undertaker or John Cena versus Randy Orton. Like, you had to watch rematch after rematch after tag team match after handicap match to finally see them two square up in the ring by themselves in a pay-per-view match. Like, I'm sorry, that old school formula, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. AEW still does, you know, send some stuff like that, but like, just look at how they've been putting those fresh faces in front of you with those same people, and then keeping the story going by doing, you know, saying by bringing them in to do, you know, saying to do something, you know, watch them and, you know, watch them during their match or mess with them after the match, you know, get inside their head. Then, you know, saying they find other ways to do it versus giving you guys the same fucking match every week. All right. That was today's news. There was, you know, a lot of people that got dropped. But, like I said, a lot of these guys are going to be able to do just fine. These ladies are going to be fine. They're going to be able to, you know, saying reevaluate things, get themselves back in the best shape of their lives, and then go back out there and kill it. And by betting on themselves, they are going to do just fine. This is your man, DLP the Prince, and this has been the PVL Show presented to you by Nerd Rage Entertainment. Love you guys so much. Make sure you guys please keep that word of mouth going for the show. Tell everybody about the show. Keep passing it around. Share me on social media, please. If you see my my post on social media, please like and share and retweet if you don't mind. Thank you guys so much. I love y'all. Y'all have a good one.